Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Samsung announced yesterday that it would stop producing their Galaxy Note 7 phone, which has been plagued by overheated and sometimes exploding batteries. The company also said to people who own that Galaxy Note 7, if you've got one, turn it off. Well, that's a hard thing for a company to have to tell its customers. And today, Samsung has more explaining to do to eight justices of the Supreme Court when its patent design case against Apple comes up on the docket. The dispute is over the design of Samsung's Galaxy phones, which Apple says Samsung basically copied. Now, that might sound strange today when almost all smartphones look like a rectangle with rounded edges and a black screen. But back in 2007, that wasn't the case.
But what we're going to do is get rid of all these buttons and just make a giant screen. A giant screen. And boy, have we patented it.
Well, after Steve Jobs said that, a jury did find that Samsung did infringe on three of Apple's phone design patents. But what the Supreme Court has to decide is the penalty for that. Samsung was ordered to pay Apple all of the profits it earned from those phones, $400 million. And Samsung says that's not fair. Christine Haight Farley is professor of law at American University, where she specializes in intellectual property law.
What Samsung is arguing is that that verdict is ridiculous because it's compensating Apple for the total profits that Samsung made in 11 of their phones when the infringement found below was only to very discrete aspects of the design. So Samsung is arguing that at best, they should be held liable for something like $3.9 million because that would account for the profits they made by copying the designs.
So that means that one of the issues that's really coming up here from Samsung's point of view is like, hey, we didn't copy the way the phone works or what makes it so fast or makes the screen so bright. Maybe the edges are contoured in this way or the curves, the things that maybe make it look like an iPhone, and that's not worth $400 million.
That's exactly what they're saying. Their brief really, and their arguments really belittle the role that design plays in these products. And they said, you know, here we have a product that has thousands upon thousands of patents involved, and people buy these phones because of the technology. They want certain functional aspects in a phone that we've provided them, that we are the innovators that are responsible for that function, and they're not buying them because of the rounded corners or the silver bezel that goes around the edge. They're buying it for how it works, and so, you know, we shouldn't have to turn over our profits from these 11 phones.
And Apple says, look, you totally copied our look, and the look is iconic, and that's worth a lot of money.
They use the words assiduously copied over and over again.
Assiduously copied.
So, yes, Apple has a totally different take, not surprisingly. And that is, and again, a phrase that they repeat again and again is the design sells the product. And they tout the importance of the iPhone design and what a role it played in the industry and how important it is to consumers. And in part, they argue that, you know, whether you like the rule or not, it's the law. The law is total profits of the article of manufacture. In this case, the article of manufacture, Apple says, is the phone.
Well, let's talk about that law for a second, because we're talking about premier high-tech consumer products here. The law at the base of all this, as I understand it, is like 130 years old.
Yes, all of patent law is quite old. So it is a fact that these kind of concepts of patent law are quite ancient. They're not updated with technology, but they more or less work. This particular case that's being argued at the Supreme Court today is about design patents, not utility patents. This particular aspect of the law has generally been in place for over 100 years. The specific language we have today has been in the Act since the 1940s. And this is the first, obviously, Supreme Court challenge of that law. In fact, the Supreme Court hasn't heard a case on design patents in over 100 years. So part of the argument that Samsung is making is that this outdated law does not fit today's marketplace. This doesn't account for the kinds of products at issue here, a smartphone. And they talk about, you know, old cases that involved the design of Oriental carpets, where possibly the design sold the product. here we have, you know, a plastic shell around really sophisticated technology. And if you are selling and producing really sophisticated technology that consumers want to buy, you shouldn't have to turn over your total profits because you copied, you know, aspects of this plastic shell. So, I'm paraphrasing Samsung's argument. That's obviously an extreme view of the case.
So it really makes you wonder, Christine Haight Farley, how much experience the justices themselves will have with these smartphones, you know, whether they're going to retire to chambers to tinker around with a bunch of Samsung phones and iPhones to kind of get a feel for it, or they might have to rely on the younger clerks to weigh in before they vote on this case and write the briefs.
Well, you know, in a way, I think this is a case, this is a patent case, which everybody will find accessible, right? We're all familiar with the aspects of the design that iPhone is claiming to have patented. So I don't know that they'll be confused by that. I think the justices are going to be interested in to what extent Samsung is asking them to change the law as written. The Court of Appeals that decided the case that's now on appeal to the Supreme Court held that the law as written precludes us from finding in Samsung's favor. The law states total profits very clearly. But then the Court of Appeals said, even though that may not make sense in the modern world. So there the court is criticizing the law, but, you know, saying we are nonetheless bound by it. I think what Samsung is arguing is for the Supreme Court to understand how much the law doesn't work today and to find a way to apply the current law in a way that wouldn't have them be awarded total profits.
And there are entire industries that are based on copying. I mean, when one hot new car comes out, you get six more cars that look almost exactly like it.
And that's a great example. So in a car, you may have, you know, the shape of the windshield is subject to a design patent. The shape of the bumper is subject to another design patent. You know, how the window is framed might be subject to another design patent. So I think companies are going to pay much more attention to these patents. They're going to have to design around them if they don't want to be sued. And I think that if this rule stands, I think we're going to see more litigation about these design patents, that companies are going to try to invalidate them because they will interfere with a kind of evolution of design in a way that hadn't been anticipated.
It started with a case about Oriental carpets 100 years ago, and today these cases on design patents are decidedly more high-tech and higher stakes. Christine Haight Farley, professor of law at American University, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.